Well, thank you so much, Pastor. As Sister Peggy was singing, I thought about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Mephibosheth. You remember him? 2 Samuel chapter 9, he was the son of Jonathan and had the song that Peggy just sang, I am not worthy. Had that song been then, he would have certainly been one who would have mouthed those words. You remember he was lame in both his feet. He was sent for by David. He had a place at David's table. And David never mentioned a thing about his lameness. Just a wonderful picture of the marvelous, matchless grace of God, or favored unmerited. For we were lame. Not because of anything that we did, simply because we came here human beings. We came here creatures of Adam's race. It was Adam, the federal head, who pulled us down when he disobeyed God and partook of the tree that God had expressly forbid him not to. And in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. How do we get in Adam? We're born there. How do we get in Christ? We're born again. A work that's done by the Spirit of the living God, with the Word of God, and specifically the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, it's good to see you. Here it is, October the 6th. Who knows? We may not see another one. For that one, he's coming in. That's not just a song. That's a fact. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That's the reason we tell people, man, enjoy while you're here. And then one of these days we're going to see him, the lover of our soul. We're going to look like somebody because we're going to look like him too. Well, I have a couple of questions I better answer before I start. Somebody asked, how long have you been doing this? Well, next month we'll make 20 years. I've been traveling and doing this. I'm on the road about 50% of the time. I'm taking dates now for 88. I'll soon be taking them for 89. Two things I never do. I never mention money, and I never ask for an opportunity to speak. I don't have to. God is the one who gave me the ability to speak, a love for himself, a love for the word, and a love for people. And the King helped us in just simply talking to people in a down-to-earth language about him. Somebody asked, well, what about your family? Doesn't your wife miss you? Well, we miss each other, but we learn that it's not so much the amount of time that we're together as it is the quality of that time. I don't even fuss with her anymore. Don't make sense anyway. You know, the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, patient, apt to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, lest peradventure God give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In fact, I used to have a real problem with Pearl when we went shopping, because men shop different than women. Amen? That'd get them. Well, you know, men like to look at automotives, right? They like to look at tools, they like to look at hardware, they like to look at sporting goods and maybe a few clothes, but not the ladies. But, you know, and I go to these shopping malls and I see how these guys are sitting down on the bench, you know, while their wife is running around in there. I see a lot of that. I used to do that too, but the Lord got through to me. He said, the Lord can help you in that. He can do anything but fail. I used to get mad when Pearl used to talk about, let's go upstairs. What's upstairs? Ladies' clothes. Who wants to see ladies' clothes? Ladies. I dropped my bottom lip, you know, in disgust, and boy, the Lord dealt with me. He soon got through to me. And now, because he's on the inside, I can outlast the average lady in the average mall. Now, sir, you're going to have to do more than pray. You're going to have to yield. You have to yield yourself. Now, and of course, I have one wife, and I have three mail-order children. You see, now that's not a joke. That's a fact. I got all my children through the mail. Got them from Korea. They're Korean blacks. We got two boys and a girl. They're all married now. We have six grandchildren, one granddog, and one grandcat. That's my family. And it's a real delight to be here at Shippensburg to just simply share Christ, that wonderful Son of God who is our strength, our song, our salvation, who actually makes breathing on the planet worthwhile. And it's great to be able to just simply share the gospel. Let me share this with you as you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're turning, let me say this. I personally believe there is no other message. Oh, yes, there's a ministry to the saints. That's only the saints. But I believe there's only one message that'll get a person from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. And that's the gospel, which according to Romans chapter 1 verse 16 is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I like to say it this way, that any other message you give to people in order for them to get saved other than the gospel is about as profitable as a screen door on a submarine hatch. Need I run that through again? That's what I personally believe. There's only one message, and that message is of God, and it's concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, even by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. And it works. And our business as Christians, remember this, not just because we're preachers, but our business as Christians is to share the person, Jesus Christ, who alone makes breathing on the planet. You see, we put the emphasis on doing, but the Bible puts the emphasis on being. You remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Lord Jesus, in response to the disciples who asked Him, would He at that time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And He said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons. All of that is in the power of the authority of the Father. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's where you get it. It's being a witness. And that's what we're to do. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we got a few minutes. Thank you so much for coming. Now, you know, tomorrow we're going to have a lot of other people in town. I understand the peace marches. And if you run into one, say, man, lady, if you want to hear about peace, come to the First Church of God. There's a guy there really talking about peace. They're going to be here tomorrow. That's what the paper says. They're in Thomasville now. Because they're talking about another peace, you know. And there is no peace apart from the Lord Jesus, who made peace by the blood of His cross. That's right. I keep forgetting you don't say amen. I'm always, that's what I stop for, but you don't say that. But that's okay. You'll learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let that do for our reading. I like to think of this here as tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. And here was a man. We know him at the outset as Saul of Tarsus. The first mention of him is given to us in the book of Acts chapter 7. It was at his feet that they laid those clothes as they were getting ready to stone Stephen, the first martyr. And at that particular time in his life, he was religious, but he wasn't right with God. You might be here tonight religious and not right with God. I want you to be relaxed. We're not talking about religion. That's a drag. People often ask me, what church do you go to? I say, look, man, I was raised on cornflakes. And then they look at you real funny. Well, I was. One day I ate Post Toasties, and the next day I ate Kellogg's. I never ate the brand, always ate the contents. I'm a Christian. Nobody ever asked me, what Christ do you know? You know why? There's only one. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. People often ask that, but what they really want to know, what's your religion? I don't have religion. Friend, could I make it very clear to you? I had religion when I was coming up as a boy. Oh, I went to church. And don't you misunderstand me. I'm not one of these guys that go around knocking churches, even with some of them with the hang-ups that they got. I just like to make it very clear that you can come to the building where the church meets, and you can still miss the Christ. You can hear the word, and you can still miss the Christ. In fact, there's a man in the Bible, he kissed the very door of heaven, and tonight he's in hell. His name is Judas Iscariot. You remember how he came after receiving 30 pieces of silver? And how he came and planted that kiss on the cheek of the Son of God? And Judas is in hell not because he didn't hear. Judas is in hell because he didn't heed. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, we therefore ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. In other words, we need to pay attention. Now in our day we got a lot of people who are running around looking for a shot in the arm. I have people say to me as a speaker, oh brother, what we need is a shot. I said, well, you got the wrong person. If you need a shot, go to the doctor. He'll not only give you an invoice, he'll give you an invite back. God never charges that way. He doesn't charge you, and what God does, it'll last. If you remember reading in the Old Testament that book, what everything under the sun is considered, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14, we read it thus, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men shall fear before him. So we're talking about what God does now, not what man does. All man can do is good. All God can do is good. Everything man puts his hand on without being surrendered and submitted, yielded to the Lord, he ruins it. But when he yields himself to the Lord, of course takes his hand off, then you know what the Lord will do? He will run it. And the only difference in the two words, run, ruin, is the I. I find it is not hard to preach the gospel. You know what I run up against as I travel back and forth across this country? I find it, you know, that a wall goes up. When you sit down, whether in a coffee shop or whether in the foyer of a church, or maybe come into a service early, and you begin to talk to a man, woman, young, middle-aged, or even in the evening of their life, who are still pressing and pounding a place on the broad road which leads to destruction. And the way the wall goes up is when you start telling them, man, you don't have what it takes. You're lost. And it doesn't make any difference if they're rich, they're poor, they're literate, they're intelligent, black, white, or grizzly green. And I'm so glad that God gave me the guts and the courage enough to say it like it is. See, I got a son. He tells me, Dad, if you keep talking to people like that, somebody's going to cut your tongue out. I said, son, until they do, they got a lot to hear. And why? Because I got a lot to say. See, I used to be afraid. I used to be affected by what people said. But my wife taught me. And the Lord used her. You see, she'd be sitting in the audience and I would, you know, be preaching. And have you ever got stuck and your mind just go blank? You ever had that experience? My mind has gone blank, standing right in the pulpit. And it wouldn't, you know, the verse wouldn't come out straight. And I look back at her and she's trying to help me, but it didn't help at all. Because you see, there were wrinkles that went up in her brow. And on the way home, I'd say, honey, what was you frowning about? She said, I'll be so glad when you learn how to preach and quit looking at me. So, now it doesn't bother me. If I look out in the audience and I see somebody frowning, I don't think that they're mad. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They may have been born that way. You see, you don't know what difference does it make what people say? You see, too many times we're looking at for the response, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I like what Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Well, here's Saul of Tarsus, now known as Paul the Apostle. Moved upon by the Spirit of the living God, he's writing to the saints at Corinth, and listen to this, according to chapter 1, to all who are in Christ Jesus. That means that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this place tonight who is saved, that's the words of the Spirit of God to you. That's the words of the Spirit of God to me. Through Paul, who was simply, he was just a channel. He's just like this too. That's all he was. He was flexible. He wasn't stiff. And that's the reason God could move him here and get him over to there, because he was flexible and he was available to the Lord. Now, I like that tube. I got the idea. I used to carry a flex straw. But then a couple years ago, I was visiting in a hospital, and I saw a man who was on oxygen, and the more I looked at his tube, the more I wanted a piece of it. And I wasn't about to cut his tube, but man, I sure wanted some. So when I came out of the room, I just simply asked the nurse. I don't mind asking people. I do that often. I just asked the nurse, could you give me an old tube? He said, no, contamination, germs. I said, could you give me a new one? She made a call, bought me a brand new tube, and I just cut it up. Put the smaller one in the bigger one. I tear it. I use it as an illustration, and it speaks to me as a Christian. I know that I can't, but he can. All I got to do is to let him. But I got to be flexible. And then like the tube, I must be available to the Lord. Now, that's a good word for us as Christians. And I carry him. Carry him in my suitcase. Have fun with him sometimes. But when I order chocolate butter milk in a restaurant, if the girl is sharp enough to make it up, I just pull out my tube. I say, look, I got my own straw. And boy, that really gets them. They don't know what you're going to pull out of their neck. See, but that's a good way of getting their attention, right? You've been to the dentist, haven't you? Let me see the hands of all who've been to a dentist. Let me raise your hand. I'm not going to pull anything. Okay, you go to the dentist and you got a sore one. And the dentist says, good morning. You say, And he says, you got a bad one. You're still afraid to open your mouth. You say, And you know the guy can't work on you until you open your mouth? One shot, he can walk in there. But do you know it's the same way when it comes to speaking or whatever you're presenting? Get the people's attention first. And then give it to them. And then leave the results with the Lord, who shoots no blanks, leaves up no blind alleys or dead end streets. Now, Paul is my favorite after Jesus Christ. I love him because, you see, he was a channel. He was the instrument. He was that vessel used of God to share with you and I about the marvelous, matchless grace of God. He not everywhere he went, the theologians and the historians tell us, there was a riot or a revival, and sometimes both. He got saved, and it wasn't very long. Why, even on the very day of his conversion, he yielded himself to the Lord. You remember Acts chapter 9, verse 6? He's still on the ground. And he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord tells him exactly what to do. And boy, it wasn't long. He was filled with the Spirit. And don't get uptight when I talk about the Holy Spirit. I know what kind of day in which we live. I know that there's a whole lot of stuff blamed on the Holy Spirit. But I got some news for you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, he never sends hymn books through the air. You ever go to a church service and you see a hymn book go through the air? That's another spirit. You know why I know the Holy Spirit doesn't do that? Two reasons. He knows what they cost. Another reason, he's the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit doesn't break up churches. The Holy Spirit doesn't split up homes or communities. And the Holy Spirit never has the people of God acting like fools. The Holy Spirit, when you open up the book of God, the Spirit of the living God, who is the author of the same, is the one who opens up the very eyes of our understanding. He testifies of Christ. He glorifies him. He feeds us with food convenient for us. And apart from the Holy Spirit, there is no way, brother, sister in Christ, that we could be overcomers in this pressurized days in which we live. May I say another thing? You're sitting in a meeting, and maybe during the invitation or him, or maybe during the preaching of the gospel or the ministry of the word, or maybe some sister like Peggy has just stood and allowed the Lord to just flow through with that gift that he's given, and they're singing. Or maybe a sister is on the instrument, or a brother is on the instrument and they're playing, and you get goose pimples, that is not the Holy Spirit. If you get goose pimples, you are cold. You need a jacket or a sweater. You say, how do you know that? Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you any fine tingling sensations. Not at all. And if you're here tonight, and the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you, Listen to me, young person, middle ager, older one, if the Spirit of the living God is not inside of you, you are not a Christian. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, now if anyone have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if you don't belong to Christ, that means that you're still in Adam. You are existing dangerously. You can't afford to die right now. And if you did, you'd be lost forever. It's just that simple. Listen, I knew hundreds of Bible verses. For my sins in his own body on the tree, then the Spirit of God entered, and I didn't feel a thing. I was born of God. And it has nothing to do with your feelings. Even when we feel, we can't express it. You know what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom have you not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sure, I feel good to know that because I'm in Christ and he's on the inside of me, that it doesn't make any difference what happens. I can't miss. Sure, I feel good about the matter of being in fellowship with him. I just share this with you. In this personal, I do a lot of my studying on the floor. I've been doing it for years. I don't care what I am. I'm at home or in somebody else's home. I just like to lay down on the floor, sort of prop up my head, and I do it that way. Or maybe just get on my knees or lay on my stomach and just study. I like it that way. You see, that way if I get struck with a thought, I can't fall. Man, I was listening today to some, I have the tape, the Word of God on tape. And I can understand how the psalmist, he just seemed to run out of words and just simply praising God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, he says, for his mercy endureth forever. You see, friends, we want to see people enjoy life. I believe that the Lord is coming soon. And relax, I'm not a prophet or a prophet's son, and I'm not a date setter, but I believe, because the Bible teaches what God is doing. He's visiting the nations to take out of them a people for the name of Jesus. And I get excited about the fact that God saved me. If he gave me what I deserved, I should have been in hell a long time ago. And I get excited about the fact that I'm a possessor of life eternal. I get excited about the fact that the Spirit of the living God, who is the author of this book, is dwelling on the inside. And that doesn't mean that because I get excited, that doesn't mean that everything always goes well. I was chatting with a dear sister before the meeting started. There's some places I go, man, people just kind of look at me like I fell out of a spaceship. I'm talking about churches. There are some churches I go to, you talk about the blood of Christ, and they look at you like you're crazy. You talk about sin, the blood of Christ, and they think, where did this guy come from? He must be some kook from outer space. That don't bother me, man. They invited me. Give it to them. They may not invite you back, but man, we're not asking for invite. Preach it to them, man. God says his word shall not return unto him void. But he shall accomplish that which he pleased and prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. So you just share it. Just make sure you're doing it in love. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to get all bent out of shape because somebody, I knew one preacher got all excited and all bent out of shape. Nobody responded. He said, oh, go to hell then. Well, that's not the way you do it, man. And trying to scare people into the kingdom, that's not the way you do it. This is a message of love. This is a story of love. This is a story of your sacrificial and atoning death at the place called Calvary. Friend, this is the only message. And it's the Lord Jesus who is our substitute. Why, God was so pleased with his death in your stead and mine that he stamped his divine approval upon it by raising him the third day from among the dead. And Paul was an intellectual friend. I mean, he could have used those great big long words if you need a hinge to turn the corner. And yet he was read down to the nitty gritty of every day, telling it like it is. He said, even constrained by the love of Christ, controlled by the Spirit of God, I determine, I purpose not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I don't believe, Pastor, I don't believe that we should be talking anything else in our churches but Christ. Man, if you want gossip, go to the neighborhood gossiper. If you want the news, turn on the tube. They'll give you the news. You know, But friend, if you want the word, every place where lights are burning and doors are open, we ought to be lifting up the Lord, who says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You see, I personally believe the only difference between a gossiper and a buzzard, the buzzard generally waits until their victim is dead. Now, the Christians in the book of Acts, in chapter 17, you know what they were charged with? They were guilty of gossiping the gospel. So much so that in the space of 2 years, all of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Because as the ladies were washing their clothes in the creek, and as they hung them up on the bushes, or just spread them out on rocks and on the grass, they were raving over the Christ. You said, is it? You know, some people ask me, "What, don't you talk about anything else?" What else is it we're talking about? It's He who satisfies the longing soul. It's He, Christ Jesus, who filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And I don't mind sharing with you that I'm learning how to delight myself in Him. Well, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? Psalm 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You know how to spell delight. D-E-L-I-G-H-T. What does it mean? Daily, everything laid into God's hand trustingly. That's the Christian life, brother. Christian, that's the Christian life. It's Him. He does the living. And all we do is lovingly let Him. And simply because we got the road map. We got the Word of God, and you go by the book. And so Paul didn't use any 35 or 40 cent words. There's some men, I could mention the names, but I won't because I used to get in trouble mentioning the men's names, but you know them. They're still alive. I was with one about 14 years ago, not too many miles from here, as we preached at a camp. And I really appreciated this man had all kind of letters behind his name, but he talked in a down-to-earth language. He could have talked about anything. He could have just talked you under the table. But man, when he raved over Christ, he talked down to earth. People say, "Sam, how do you talk when you go to universities and colleges?" I say, just like they're 2 or 3 years old. They get it. Don't use any 35 or 40 cent words. You know as well as I do, if this beautiful sanctuary was a burst of flame right now, we wouldn't flounder around for some 35 or 40 cent adjective. We'd have a fire and get out of here. And it's the same way when you're talking about God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and you're sharing, "Thus saith the Lord." Down to earth. The Lord Jesus, as He walked the Galilean seashore, He said to a couple fishermen, ignorant of setting the standards of our day, "Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men." How many times did He say it? Only once. Don't tell me what the world is doing. I know what the world is doing. I know what they're going to do. I got it right here in black and white. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. "And the world," that means the world system, the world's way of doing things. "The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Don't tell me, man. I listen to what they have to say about the stock market, and I'm listening to all those analysts, you know, they're trying to figure out about the economy. They never hit it, you know. They're all guessing. You want to know? The Word makes you sure, like the blood of Christ makes you pure. You want to know? Get into the Word. And just be dishonest. And I'm saying this, and I don't want you to be getting on some guilt trip. If you happen to be a Christian, and you're standing at an enemy's fire, and it's been a long time since you found yourself saying spontaneously to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, I love You." It's been a long time since you just spontaneously praised Him for who He is and for what He's done. It's been a long time since you picked up the book and you allowed the Spirit of the living God to feed, fill, and flood your soul. You see, it's the entrance of the Word that giveth light. It giveth understanding into the simple. And what I'm going to say, I want you to listen to it carefully. I'm kind of glad this is being taped. I'm not one of those that go around knocking education because I was too stupid to go to school when I was a teenager. I always shared with you that I ran away from home when I was 15 and a half. I hoboed 2 years and 7 months all over this country, worked for circuses and sideshows, and ended up in jail and all that foolishness. But I don't go around knocking education, but I want to make it very clear. Education without salvation leaves a person stupid. You don't have to say amen. I say that all over the country. And I challenge people. But I'm not talking about the wisdom of this world anyway. I'm speaking about Jesus Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You don't have any answers. Sir, you're not complete. Lady, you can be ever so pretty. Young person, you can be ever so popular. Until Jesus Christ is on the inside, you're just a 40 with the fool rubbed out. And it's about time somebody looked you on your eyeball and gave it to you straight. You're just existing. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When Paul talks about, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, I personally do not believe that he was talking about he had butterflies in his stomach. We've all had that experience, right? You have those butterflies in your stomach. Well, there's nothing wrong with having butterflies. Just teach them to fly in formation. That means you got it under control. Many times you have those butterflies because we're concerned about what Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so or how our friends, what are they going to think? What difference does it make what they think when you're plugged in? When you're sure, and remember the word makes you sure. So when he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, I don't believe his knees were knocking together like that ungodly monarch in the book of Daniel. I don't believe that. I believe he's speaking about, he was convinced at that particular time that he was God's mouthpiece. He was one of God's channels, and he didn't want to get in the act. Because you see, my friend, the Holy Spirit doesn't use philosophy and psychology. The Spirit of God uses the Word. No wonder he says through Paul as he writes to the saints at Ephesus, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let me just say it this way. If you don't have an appetite for the Word, you don't have to beg God. Just be honest. Confess, Lord, I must confess. I don't have an appetite for the Word. Because it's one or two things wrong. Either you are not born again, or you are so far from God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, that you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. I have three children. Two out of three of those children made a false profession of faith at a very early time in their lives. I went to a certain Bible chapel. You know how to spell chapel, C-H-A-P-E-L, which simply means Christ has already purchased every life. And at this particular chapel, you know, the people would slide up on the Christian's children, and they would say to them, when are you going to get saved? And roll them out like a carpet and nail them down on all 40 inches. Well, at an early age, my son, 9 years old, learned how to get out from under that. He just said, I'm saved. I knew he wasn't saved. You say, how do you know? He didn't have an appetite for the Word of God. The only reason he'd pick up his Bible is because he was made to. And he had to pick it up because he had to learn 6 Bible verses a week. And then he picked it up when we had family devotions every morning at 6 or 6:15. My daughter came along and did the same thing. And then when she got 12 years old, I was speaking at a suburban church and gave a simple invitation like we give here. And you know, one of the first ones that came up with that oriental shuffle up the aisle was my daughter. And you know what she said to me that afternoon when we went out for dinner? She was just 12 years old. She said, Daddy, I know that it was either today or never. And she was just 12, and she got saved. And my boy, who had just talked to me 2 days earlier, he came to me 5 o'clock in the morning because we said, look, if your grades are not up, you can't play football. And he was 15 years old at that time. And he wanted to know, could he play football? So he woke me up early in the morning and we talked about it. I knew what his marks were because I see his card. I have to sign it before he takes it back. He said, Dad, can I play football? I said, how are your marks? He says, you know. I said, yes. And you know what he said? He said, Daddy, I'm not saved. I said, Paul, I know it. I'm not going to preach to you. You don't need a sermon. You need a Savior. And he got saved in that same service where Julie got saved, 15 years old. I knew he was saved, but prior to that, man, he had even been baptized. He just went down a dry sinner and came up a wet one. That's all. He wasn't saying what the Bible says, that he's identified with Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. That's the reason, friend. See, I'm not concerned about mere perfection. I'm not concerned about somebody saying, oh, I did that. I'm not concerned about salvation by formula. It's salvation by blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we say, as we did tonight, there is power in the blood. Upon from the blood there is no remission of sin. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, no remission, no forgiveness. It is the death of Christ. And I'm so glad that October the 6th, 1986, he's not dead. God stamped his divine approval upon it by raising him from among the dead. He didn't have a thing to do with Wall Street. He isn't on the headlines of the journals or in any of the papers that you might pick up. He doesn't come in prime time on television. But according to the Word of God, and I believe it, he holds all things together. And one of these days, as he so faithfully promised, he's coming again to receive us unto himself. I want to ask you a question. Do you know him personally? You want to be disgusted? Look at me. You want to be distracted? Get you a piece of glass they call a mirror and look at that. But friend, if you want to be delightful and dangerous, do what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, is it not? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Makes me think of that grand hymn, number 379 in our books. The chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Respond to the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit and do just that. Listen to what the writer says. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Let's sing stanza one, stanza two, and we'll stand on stanza three and four as we sing. Number 379. Before Pastor Dare comes, let me say this. Nobody's going to pressure you. We just don't believe in pressure, hard or soft. I'm sold on the fact that this is the work of the Spirit of the living God. And if it's of God, it'll last. And we ought to be sick of what's of man. And if there's a want-to deep down inside, that's the Lord. We'd love to talk to you. There are counselors, brothers and sisters, with Bibles, constrained by the love of Christ, controlled by the Spirit, who would love to prayerfully talk to you. So if there's a want-to, don't go out. Just come this way.